But I'm excited. Hannah and I are honored and excited as always to be given a message this morning. And as Rob mentioned, we're continuing our series called Everything, Everywhere,
All at Once.
There you go. You know it. And today we're going to see what the scriptures have to say about human relationships. But not just any kind of relationships, but Christ-centered relationships. Amen? Amen. The life-giving kind, the spiritual kind, the kind of relationships where not only are you close to the other person, but you bring each other closer to God. You know, God not only made us in His image, but He's also the designer of relationships. Family. He knows what we need relationally as human beings. We're social beings, but we're also spiritual beings. So we need both social interaction, true friendships, but those friendships need to be centered on the very God who made us. Amen? They have to be spiritual. Here in Ecclesiastes, as Solomon continues to kind of look at the world and figure out and search for meaning, search for what actually matters, he begins to talk about how being alone or doing life alone is not where it's at. It's not what we should have in our lives. But rather, he wants us to see that there is great meaning, great value in relationships. And so let's read here our main passage for today in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Let's see here. There we go. All right. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so the title of our message today is Christ-centered relationships. Amen. Do you guys want some Christ-centered relationships in this room?
Yes.
Amen. I want that. And so he begins by stating here that two are better than one. Simple statement, but carries a lot of weight. Two are better than one. You know, recently, sometimes I'll be holding our son Jace in one hand and still trying to do something with my other arm, with my other hand, right? Yeah. Just around the house, you know, whatever it may be. And I just look ridiculous. Like the simple things in life that you try to do with one hand, baby, other hand, trying to do, and I'm just like, this is not working. And so I've, through that, have been learning more and more the value of that two is better than one. There's a lot of things in life where we see that, trivial things. And so I want to do a little illustration here. I need two volunteers, and you need to be wearing shoes that have laces on them, okay? All right, so we got Brian, Brianna, come on up. I want you to take one shoe off, untie one shoe.
Let's go, twin.
Let's go. They're like, what am I getting into? All right, take off one shoe, put it up here so everyone can see it. Hopefully your shoes don't stink. First row, I'm sorry, if that's the case. I can't smell it from here. All right, so Brian.
Yes.
With one hand, well, first untie that shoe.
Oh.
There you go. Brian, with one hand, you're going to try to tie shoes the way you normally do. All right?
I use two.
And Bree is going to use two hands and tie her shoe. All right, we can all see where this is going. It's fair. They're both unlaced. These are some nice shoes. It's good stuff. All right, so I'm just going to count you down. Bree is using two hands. Brian is using one. We're about to see what Brian can do right here. All right, here we go. Three, two, one. Go.
It's not helping.
I got you. I'm win.
Uh-huh.
I'd be surprised if Brian even had anything going. Oh, he's on.
Hey.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
Let's go, Bree. Show him up.
Wait, what the heck?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
up and over bunny ears.
It's not tie hit. Hold on.
I mean, they're tied.
This is how I tie my.
That's not.
I need a normal, normal knot.
Yeah,
I know. Okay. All right. There we go. Let's see what Brian's got going on here. All right, little dent. Okay, there's nothing there. It was just kind of like twisted. It was
I'll try to do the bunny ears and then.
And Bree, great job. Awesome. Give it up for Brian and Brianna, everyone. Again, simple illustration, but there's a lot of things like this where we can see that two are better than one. You know, it might be even just like putting on your clothes in the morning. Try putting on your pants with one arm. Maybe you've done it before. Just things like that. Typing an essay, that would take way longer if you're just using one hand. Cooking a meal, right? If you had to tie your hand around your back the whole time, right? There's just simple things that we experience this with. You know, God gave us two hands for a reason, two eyes for a reason, two feet for a reason, and he also gave us relationships for a reason, amen? And it's just true in life that two is better than one. This is a fact. It's indeed better than being alone. But even though we know this is the case, we just saw it up here just a moment ago, but even though we know this is true, we as individuals still decide to do many things in life alone. Don't we, guys? We still decide to do many things alone, especially when it comes to our walk with God. You know, it is recognized by many sociologists that we live in the most individualistic society of all time. That's what we're living in day by day. A society where we're digitally more connected than ever before, but relationally and socially more disconnected from God and from one another than we ever have been before. This is scary. You know, we live in a culture where it's all about doing it yourself. There's almost bragging rights that come in our culture with doing things yourself. The DIY movement, right? Doing life, doing things on your own. You know, Brian was trying to get some bragging rights up here just a moment ago. He's like, watch me do this. I can't use my other arm. I'm going to push her out of the way, right? There's a part of us that we're like, I can do this and I don't need any help. You know, if you just do life alone, this is kind of some things you hear the world say. Hey, if you're doing things alone, you don't got to deal with the drama of relationships. You'll probably have less drama in your life. Just kind of keep to yourself, right? That's a tempting thought. Just minding our own business. It's not all the time, but there are many times where the world tells us that one is better. One is better than two. Being alone is better than relationship, better than community. But the wisdom of Scripture is saying two is better than one. Community is better than isolation. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
And a relationship that takes work is better than no relationship at all.
Yeah.
And on verse 9, he says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Guys, in life, we fall, don't we? You ever trip in front of someone on a New York street and you're just like, that was rough. I'm trying to move on from that. It stinks when you don't have someone there to help you up when you fall, at least to make the moment a little bit better, right? Guys, we go through hard times. We will hit rock bottom. In life, we fall. It's not a matter of if we will, but when we will. And getting back up can be hard to do alone. The scripture is making that clear. And so I want to ask you, who do you have that can pick you up when you fall? Who do you have in your life? What fellow Christian is in your life that you know will be there for you through thick and thin? Who really knows you and makes you better than if you were just on your own? Who is that in your life? Brothers and sisters, we're not going to have strong Christ-centered relationships when we decide to go life alone. And we won't have anyone to pick us up when we fall, when we decide to do life on our own. Listen, you're awesome, but you're not that awesome that you don't need other people in your life. You know, as Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather with sober judgment, with humility, to see yourself as someone who needs other people in your life so that you can have an awesome relationship with God. Guys, here's the truth. Many decide to do life on their own. And you could do life on your own. You could choose to do that. Many people do. But you cannot follow Jesus on your own. Yeah. You cannot follow Jesus on your own. I don't care what the world says. It's about what the scriptures say. Amen? What does Jesus say? Even though the Western Christian culture tells us, no, hey, you can have your own kind of personal relationship with God. Have your Bible and coffee. You know, maybe watch an online YouTube sermon. You don't need the church community thing. Church can be messy. You know, don't worry about all that church stuff. You can still have a relationship with God without that. That's like Christian culture that says that in America. You know, especially during COVID. COVID didn't help with that. We felt even more like, you know, we can just stay at home and kind of do things on our own. And yes, there's a time and place for us to have our own personal time with God. But the Bible is saying that following Jesus can only happen in relationship to other people. You can't follow Jesus and not interact with others. You can't love your neighbor if there's no neighbor to love. You can't lay down your life for your fellow brother or sister in Christ if they are not present in your life, if they don't exist in your relationships. The reality is that discipleship and relationships go hand in hand. And in fact, the Bible goes out of its way to say that true relationships are only possible through Jesus and if they're for Jesus. Let's check this out. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For in him," talking about Jesus here, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Amen. 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 Just making sure you guys are still there. Did you know that through Jesus, all things were created, and through Jesus, all things hold together? Did you know that? That all things have been created through him and for him. And that includes our relationships, our friendships with one another. You know, healthy relationships are only possible through Jesus and if they're for Jesus, if they're about Jesus. What I'm talking about here is kingdom relationships. Not worldly relationships, but kingdom relationships. You know, healthy relationships can happen when Jesus is involved. And in the world, relationships, really the purpose of relationships in the world are to make you happy. That's really the extent of it. But in God's kingdom, relationships aren't there just to make you happy or to get what you want out of the friendship, but they exist to point each other back to God. Relationships in the kingdom exist to bring glory and honor to God. Amen? Amen. Kingdom friendships are where Jesus is king, not us. They exist to bring glory to the king by loving one another, serving one another, being there for one another out of reverence to King Jesus. In the world, many times relationships are only as strong as the things that you have in common with someone, or how many things you actually agree on in life with opinions. And so in the world, if you don't have most things in common, relationships quickly falter because the glue of the world, which is common passions, hobbies, whatever it may be, once you take that away, so goes the friendship. so goes the relationship. But what if there was a stronger glue for relationships, a stronger bond? And what if his name was Jesus? What if Jesus was the glue of all of our relationships? And what if we fought for that? What if Jesus and our devotion to him is what brought us closer together than anything else? More than the things of this world, more than your interests, more than your hobbies, but Jesus was really the glue. You know, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, they didn't literally have everything in common. They didn't all wear the same exact clothes. They didn't all have the same exact passions and interests and all that. But the beauty of their relationships is that Jesus was their everything. The beauty of Christian relationships, guys, is that even when we don't have things in common, even when we do disagree, Jesus brings us together because Jesus is the glue. Amen?
Amen?
Because we share a relationship with God, and because he's the most important thing in our life, we always have everything in common because Jesus is our everything. Jesus is a better glue than anything else you can find in the world when it comes to our relationships with one another. You know, as Colossians 1:17 says, it says, in him all things hold together. And this is what we have to ask about our friendships. Is Jesus really what holds us together? Is Jesus really the strongest bond in our relationship with God and our friendships? And so I want to ask you that this morning. Is Jesus the glue that really holds your relationships together? Or is it the things of this world? How long you've known someone? You know, where you live? What you're interested in? Again, I mentioned these things before. You know, we really have to ask ourselves that. Do you find yourself talking to friends, and even friends in this room, about the same old thing? School, something you saw on social media. You know, a lot of times, especially when we're in class, we're tempted just to bond with people, bond with fellow classmates through gossiping, through slandering, through just honestly complaining sometimes. There's these things that the world presents as like, here's a good connection point to connect with this person that's not God. And so with your friendships, is Jesus really what's bringing you together, or is it shallow things that the world presents to us? Is God the one bringing you together? I also want to ask you, is Christ supreme? You know, at the end of that passage, it says, so that in everything that Christ may have the supremacy. But is Christ supreme in your relationships, or are you? Who matters more? If you're getting just what you need, if you're doing the things that you want, and again, our relationships should be encouraging, right? You shouldn't just be frustrated all the time. But is Christ more supreme than you? And are you going after not just any relationship, but Christ-centered relationships? You know, these kind of life-giving friendships, guys, they do not come easy. They do not, but they're worth fighting for. I'm going to invite Hannah up to share about her journey of finding these kind of relationships.
All right, so when I think about seeking after Christ-centered relationships, I think about a time like, I think Mark was saying this, it wasn't the easiest for me. I was a sophomore in college. How many sophomores are here? I know Manuela, she's a sophomore. Oh, we got more, okay. Yeah, lots of sophomores in here. And I was in a campus ministry of about 60 people, so a little bit bigger than this room. And when I think about the room that I stand in at campus ministry events, if you can imagine, there must have been someone who was like me, someone maybe who looked similar to me, maybe had a similar upbringing. You guys might feel like you have some people like that in your room, in this room for you, had similar interests, or at least someone who had slightly the same sense of humor as me. But I could not find anyone in that room that fit any of those molds. I couldn't find the ideal friend for me, someone who was like easy or natural. And so that really left me feeling lonely. I sought after friendships at school. I was one of two Christians at my college, and I almost always hit a dead end with these friendships because there came a time where I felt like if I was going to keep having that friendship with them, I would either need to compromise on my walk with God in some way, like to go to that party or to skip church, to hang out with them or be around all the cursing and negativity all the time, even though I knew it was affecting me negatively. Or the other reason why a lot of these friendships hit a dead end was because the conversations and times together just felt shallow, but my soul was craving something that was deeper in those relationships. And so I just remember I was sitting somewhere, I don't know exactly where, but I decided, okay, I'm going to really go after friendships. These people in this room, they all seem like they have deep friendships. Like, why can't I have them? And I tried to stop having such worldly expectations and ideals for the friendships. I tried to stop judging whether I was able to be friends with someone based on those other things that I listed. And I tried to open my eyes up to a room full of people that could potentially be great friends. And I started to pray for my friendships with people. I decided to start spending time with people who were different than me from a worldly outward point of view. And really, I just decided to get over myself. And a scripture that inspired this mindset for me was 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 17. It says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." And this scripture felt so perfect for this time in my life. And I really believe that God was trying to help me to see that there was no benefit to thinking of these friendships from a worldly point of view. I was no longer of the world, so why was I still thinking of my friendships in this way? I really hadn't been a Christian for that long, and so having Christ-centered relationships was very new to me, and building those friendships was not easy. So, inspired by this scripture, I decided to go after it with people in my campus ministry, but also with the church that I was involved in. And I started to go look at pictures from those days yesterday. And what I was seeing was so many meaningful friendships that I made during that time. I have memories of just feeling close to them and having those deep conversations with so many women, so many men from the campus ministry, and also older Christians in the church too. And when I think about those friendships, the biggest thing I think about is how those friendships kept me faithful when I was feeling low and called me higher in my walk with Jesus. And they were there for me in my lowest moments. They listened to me, encouraged me, and many of those people still feel like family to this day. And so setting aside my worldly views of friendships and relationships opened the door for God to put the people in my life that I needed. And the reason why I wanted to share just that experience for me in this journey of finding Christ-centered, deep friendships is that if it's a challenging area for you, then maybe this 2 Corinthians scripture needs to be a good reminder for you to not think of people in a worldly way. Or maybe you need to pray like I did. I don't know what it is, but I do hope that in this ministry that we can all have relationships that bring us closer to God.
Amen. You know, Hannah, I remember being in that New Jersey campus ministry together, and obviously Rob and Chelsea were leading that ministry, and I remember just seeing her really set the bar high, setting such a great example for fighting for those friendships. And I got to see it before my very eyes, her coming into the ministry and then graduating, being someone that really brought our group together, building great friendships. I remember her having sisters over at her apartment all the time, and seeing that part of who Hannah was, honestly, is part of what attracted me to her. I'm like, man, she's really good at making friendships. Who is this Hannah girl? And we started doing some more service together, and part of my reasoning was I want to serve God. I want to do some serving the poor events. But in the back of my head, I was like, but I'll spend more time with Hannah and I can get to know her more and we'll serve together. And so you never know what friend you're going to meet when you decide to go after friendships, if you know what I'm saying. Amen? And so let God open up those doors if it's his will. But, you know, a scripture that she really embodied is here in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. And what is that mindset? It's a selfless mindset. It's a serving mindset. It's a giving mindset that says, I'm coming to give. I'm coming to initiate. Not just at church on Sundays, but whatever times we're together, that we're coming to look to the interest of others as we also share our interests and what's going on in our life as well. You know, we can't show up here to church on Sunday mornings and come to feel like I'm going to be served in my relationships. If that's your mindset, coming to church Sunday or coming on our Friday night events, you probably will miss out on deeper friendships if you're coming to be served. But if you're coming to fight for those spiritual, Christ-centered friendships, God's going to work through your intentionality. Amen?
Yeah.
He's going to work through that. It might take some time, but God will give you the friendships you're looking for if you're intentional, if you fight for it, and if you live out this scripture, if you make it about him. But I want to ask you, how is this going for you? Or is selfishness creeping in to your relationships? Guys, I'll tell you, it's not easy to live this out, what we just read. You know, I've been a Christian for 13 years, and it is not easy for me to have a selfless mindset in my relationships. Still, it's still something that even for me, as I come here, I have to think about, all right, service is over. Who can I connect with? Who can I encourage? Who can I get to know better? And so we got to fight for this as we want to be humble and have the same mindset as Jesus and our relationships. You know, this mindset of Jesus is especially important when it comes to reaching out to our friends in the world. Friends that we have not yet decided to follow Jesus. This could be a coworker or a classmate. And guys, it's so important for us to get really good at befriending people in the world. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus had friendships with all kinds of people, but his approach was always to love, to serve, to get to know someone. That's who Jesus was. You know, if your friends really want to know you, they have to know Jesus, because Jesus is the Lord of your life. And so as you're building friendships with people that aren't Christians, you know, just because they haven't yet made Jesus the Lord of their life, don't let that be an excuse for you to not share about your walk with God and your friendships with other people. You know, with your friendships with people who aren't Christians, you can't take Jesus out of the equation just because Jesus isn't in their life yet. So what we have to do is be people that are approachable, that are relatable, right? Odds are, if you're already friends with someone, there's something that's going on there, something that you have in common with a classmate or a family member or a coworker. But what we have to do is then transition into thinking about, how could I help this friendship be more spiritual, even though they haven't made Jesus Lord yet? With our friends outside of Christ, how can we change the narrative? And changing, you know, a lot of college relationships, honestly, are very shallow. You know, the things that bond people in college don't bond them after college, usually, if God isn't in the equation. That was the same for me with high school. I thought to myself, I'll probably have some friends from high school after high school. I don't talk to anyone from my high school. And I thought, no, this is great. Oh, graduation. What a great 4 years. But it's the same with college. We have these experiences with people. We think like, oh, we're lifers. This is going to be great. But a lot of the things that bond people are so shallow. And then you start asking yourself, why do we call each other best friends? If they don't even know why I'm a Christian. If they don't even know why I do what I do in my faith. And so we got to be people that change the narrative, that we make relationships more spiritual. Because we know that God designed relationships and know we do better, not just socially, but spiritually.
Yeah.
By our love, by showing other people, by serving them, showing them who we are as Christians. I just want to give some practicals here for just some conversation starters. You know, in your conversation with friends who aren't yet Christians, what are some things that you could ask them that could maybe lead to some spiritual conversation, that could lead to a spiritual connection and maybe even this person wanting to know the God that you serve? So I'm just going to give you a couple. I've found that these have worked for me at times and other people. One is just asking your friend, classmate, coworker, whoever, hey, do you ever think about who is God? Do you ever just think about who God is? You know, what he's like? Have you ever prayed to him before? You know, that might sound like a bold question, but we got to be people that are okay with saying, hey, you ever think about God? You ever think about faith? Another thing, this is kind of a fun one, is asking a friend, hey, what things annoy you about Christians? Just give it to me. What annoys you about Christians? What annoys you about church? You know, and that's kind of cool for them because they feel like, wow, you're trusting me enough to maybe tell you some hard things right now from their church experience. But that kind of opens up the door to hear about maybe what's stopping them from wanting to get to know God. And as they share things that annoy them about Christian culture, you can start to kind of pop those balloons one by one with scripture and help them see what you've witnessed is not who Jesus is. What you've witnessed is not the life that I'm trying to live. Does that make sense, guys? Right? Yeah. We're trying to help them see that. Another question is, hey, would you be open to me sharing with you about why I decided to follow Jesus? And just asking your friend that. Hey, I know we've known each other for a while. It's been 2 years now, whatever it may be for you guys. Would you be open to me sharing with you about why I decided to be a Jesus follower? And if they're really your friend, they'll say yes. And if they say no, then amen. They said no, but you might want to consider how close you are to that friend and if they're really your friend or not. The last one I'll give you, and this is kind of for people that maybe you feel like, I don't know, they're really not the religious type, or they're really not interested at all, right? Here's more of a question that could challenge people. If you found out Christianity was true, do you think you'd become a Christian? Right? Let's say they're wrestling with, is this legit? Can you trust the Bible? Is Jesus legit? Hey, let's give them that hypothetical. Let's say, hey, let's say you found out Christianity is true. Would you become a Christian? And if they say no to that too, then what you want to respond with is, well, do you really care about truth? Or do you really care about just doing what you want to do? Right? And have a real conversation with them, you know? Because if Christianity is true, which it is, then they should consider that. Or at least want to have a conversation with you about why you believe that Jesus is real. Amen? So I hope some of those are helpful for you guys. But again, we have to be people that don't just settle for weak sauce, shallow friendships with people outside of Christ. We have to figure out, how do we bring them in to God's family? How do we kind of break the ice, break that wall, and have some spiritual conversation? Let's change the narrative. Let's be people that go after God-centered relationships. I want to close with one final scripture here. I love this scripture in Mark chapter 3. This is a scripture about really family, but Jesus talks about who his family is in this passage. In verse 31, it says, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. I love that. Imagine just being with Jesus in that moment. Maybe you just met him that day, and he's looking at this circle and saying, if you do God's will, you're my brother, my sister, and my mother. That is special. And this isn't just true for the people there in that moment. Guys, this is true for us, that Jesus is saying to you, I want to be family. I want to be more than just friends, more than just somewhere you go on Sundays. But Jesus is inviting us into his family. Amen? He's inviting us into his eternal kingdom. That when we decide to do God's will, not only do we become family with one another, but we become family with Jesus. When we're baptized and we have the blood of Christ wash over our sins, we then share the blood of Jesus. We're blood family because of Jesus. And this is what we really need to take to heart, is that the relationships here in this room at ALNYC, they're not just temporary. They're not just, well, this is nice a couple days a week. But guys, that we're family in Christ. And what does family do? Family is there through thick and thin. Family is there through the hills and the valleys, because our mindset is we're family. We're going to be in this together forever. Amen. And so let's not miss out on the opportunity to have these fun, joyful, Christ-centered relationships in this life. You know, maybe you're new to our ministry. Maybe this is one of your first times coming out. We just want you to know that we want to do life with you. We want to do life together with you and with God. And we want to welcome you with open arms to this family. You are welcome here. You're not alone. God wants to place everyone in family, as Scripture says. And we want to create a family, a community for young people that maybe your family of origin has been really hard for you. And we want to provide something here that can still be family, that it can be loving, it can be fun, while you're experiencing and kind of navigating college. Amen. And so if this is a new group for you, it's okay. We want to help you come to know us, come to get to know God, and we want to do life together. You are not alone. But AONYC, let's remember that two is better than one. Brian definitely knows that by now.
Yep.
And that you're always going to be better off with strong Christians in your life who know you, who really know what's going on in your life. Don't cave into the hollow and deceptive thinking of this world that says one is better than two. But rather, in your relationships with one another, remember that they're to bring glory to God, and that he is the king, and that Jesus is the glue. He holds all things together, and the things of this world do not. And so, guys, let's decide to go after Christ-centered relationships. Let this be a place that we don't just attend, but we build. We build friendships that are about Jesus. Even today, after we sing our last song, get to know someone here that you don't know. Give them a hug. To have a conversation about life. Share what you got out of the sermon. Let in the fellowship, let's live out the very scriptures that we read today. Amen?
Amen.
And for the people that you've known for a while, evaluate those friendships. Ask yourself, is Jesus really the glue of this friendship with that brother or sister? Is he really what brings us closer than anything else? Let's not settle for worldly relationships, but let's embody Christ-centered relationships. Amen. We love you guys. To God be the glory. Thank you.